Today we turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, about a quarter of the way in from the beginning of the Bible. And this is a topical message today that looks at God's call on a boy named Samuel and how God's calling on Samuel relates to his kingdom and his word, and how this passage reveals some of the greatness and glory of God and how it's relevant to our daily lives as followers of Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. And may God be speaking to you as he spoke to Samuel some 3,000 years ago. And the title of our message today is as follows: God's kingdom, his word, and his calling on young people. Today we're going to take a look at what God did over 3,000 years ago in the life of a boy named Samuel, who becomes a mighty prophet in the days of the Old Testament before Jesus came. A powerful story about God intervening in a new way to call his people back to himself in a right relationship with himself, and as he was preparing to advance his kingdom here on earth. And he starts by calling a boy named Samuel to be his prophet. And God's call on Samuel's life comes at an early age. Coming to know the Lord and serving the Lord is not something we should wait to do until we get older. And let's just have fun as a kid and then I'll do the Jesus stuff later. I mean, you can do that, but you're really missing out on the greatest thing that there is in life, knowing Jesus and serving him. Samuel didn't wait. And this passage speaks to all of us, even if for those of us that might be older and might not be a young person. For in these scriptures, we see how God is advancing his kingdom through his word. And the boy Samuel is ready for God's call on his life, in part because of his godly mother Hannah, who had prayed and dedicated him, prayed to have a son and then dedicated him to the Lord, as we'll see. And the book of 1 and 2 Samuel emphasizes God choosing a shepherd boy named David to be king over his people Israel, the people God chose for his own possession, to be a blessing and a light to all the nations, and through whom God's kingdom would advance throughout this world. And the true story that we're reading today takes place somewhere around 1120 BC, about 100 years before David will become king. It's the end of a time period referred to as in the days of the judges, where everyone was doing right in their own eyes. And God's people have been, for the most part, living in sin, and the word of God was rare. God was not speaking very often to his people. Yet God, in his perfect timing, by his grace and for his own glory, calls this young boy Samuel to be a prophet to his people, calling them to repentance and worship. And God will use this prophet to eventually anoint another boy named David to become king of Israel. And from David's descendants will come the mighty one, the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. And God chooses to have Samuel born to a woman named Hannah, who'd been barren for years, was not able to have kids. And she poured out her heart one day to God and said, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And God hears her cry and gives her a son. And she names him Samuel, which means heard from God, or that God heard. And he's born at a time period when Eli is the priest, and Eli is a compromising man. He's not living wholeheartedly for the Lord, and his sons are living very wickedly. And this is the time period in which Samuel is born and the people which he is being raised up around. So let's pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And even though we have a youth theme Sunday, I got to put on my reading glasses because I couldn't find one of my contact lenses this morning. So here we go. 1 Samuel 3, and we'll read this chapter. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel,' and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And then the first part of verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Let's pray. We praise you, Lord, Yahweh, the God who called Samuel as a boy to be your servant, a prophet for a specific hour in salvation history, the God who revealed yourself through your word, who's advancing your kingdom, your reign here on earth for your own glory. We pray, Father, that you would bless us as we feed on this word together. We pray for the young people in our midst, those that know you, that they would love you all the more. Those that don't, and those who might be older that don't know you, that they would put their faith in you, Jesus, and begin to serve you. And that all of us would be inspired and exhorted by the word today, seeking to live for your kingdom in line with your word and the calling you have on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, two main points today as we think on this chapter. First, God's calling comes through his word and on young people. Again, verse 1, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. Samuel's a boy. We don't know how old he was. The Jewish historian from the first century, Josephus, says he was 12 years old. But regardless, he's a boy. He's no longer a baby. Hannah, his mom, has given him over to be raised up in the temple under Eli. He's not yet a man. He's a boy, and the Lord calls him at a young age. And here's a boy, Samuel's ministering under the priest Eli, who has not served the Lord wholeheartedly. And his sons have been committing wicked sins under Eli's leadership, and he's not restrained them. And this is reflective of God's people Israel, who were oftentimes living in sin, and especially in the days of the judges. The book of Judges, before God gave his people kings, there were different judges who would rule. And here's how this book of the Bible ends. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And therefore, as verse 1 says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. God was not speaking in special ways. God's people were not taking to heart the word of God that had already been spoken through Moses and others. And moving forward, God would be speaking through Samuel. He's going to raise him up as a prophet. And then through many other prophets that would come, like Isaiah and Micah and Nahum and so forth. And eventually God would speak his final and greatest word by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who John calls the Word.
Verse 2.
At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And ironically, Eli's deteriorating physical eyesight reflects his spiritual condition. He can't see what's going on. Verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Okay, this is before God had the temple built in Jerusalem, and the ark of God represented his presence with his people. And the ark of God is there at the temple in the tent. And this is in Shiloh, which is, I think, about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. And Eli is ministering there at the temple, and Samuel is with him. And the scripture says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And what they would do in those days is they'd light a lamp at night, and it would burn all night and then die out in the morning. So it's probably close to the early morning hours. The lamp is still burning. And Samuel's lying down. Verse 4, 5. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, because he thinks it's Eli calling. God hasn't ever spoken to him like this. God's speaking in an audible voice, but Samuel doesn't know what's going on. But Eli says to him, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." So there's suspense building. What's going to happen? When's he going to figure out what's going on? Verse 7. Now, before we move forward, we get some insight here. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. God's calling on our lives is a calling that is first and foremost about us coming to know the Lord, not first serve him. Serving him is very important, but we serve him out of a relationship with him. We first are called to come to know him. At this point, Samuel's a boy. He doesn't know the Lord. God's speaking to him and calling him, but he doesn't know the Lord yet. And God, in this case, God speaks in a special way to Samuel, through an audible voice. And Scripture records numerous times where God will speak this way to his people. But when God would speak this way, it would always be in line with whatever word he has already spoken and had written down in the past. And so for you and I today, we hear God speaking primarily by feeding on his word, taking it to heart, reading it to know a person his name is Jesus, and doing so in the fellowship of the church, and expecting God to speak to us in ways where he's leading us and so forth, and taking to heart like Samuel did, that God spoke to him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Now, like with this poor eyesight, the fact that it takes Samuel coming to Eli three times before Eli realizes what's going on is just further reflection of how out of touch Eli is with the Lord and with what's going on. And even though Samuel is just a boy, the Lord is calling him for service in his kingdom, first by revealing himself to Samuel, and then he is revealing what his plan is. And throughout Scripture, we see examples of God calling and using young people for his kingdom. This is not a one-time event in Scripture. God's calling is not limited to young people. God called Abraham when he was 75 and Moses when he was 80. And so may all of us take to heart, whatever our age, God's call in our life. First of all, again, to come to know him. And for us, living on this side of Jesus coming, we come to know God through Jesus. But also to recognize, and if you're a young person today, that God's call on your life, to think, has he been speaking to me? Is he calling me? Have I heard his voice through the Holy Spirit, through Bible studies, through preaching, through my parents, through Christian friends? Is God speaking to me? Is he calling me to himself? And if so, am I serving him and so forth? God's call comes on young people. We see this throughout the Bible. God's call on Jacob's son Joseph started at the age of 17, although in a dream. But at this point, Joseph doesn't understand what's going on. Only later Much later will he find out, after a couple decades pass, that what Joseph's brothers, who sold him into slavery, had done, they had meant for evil, God had meant it for good. Later in 1 Samuel, God will have Samuel himself anoint another young boy, David, a shepherd boy, to become the next king of Israel. The virgin girl Esther was picked by the king to be his new queen. That was what the king was doing, but God was sovereignly working to raise up Esther to become queen for such a time as this, to intercede for her people, because the evil man Haman was going to seek to try to kill the Jews. Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. 2 Chronicles 34 tells us in the eighth year of his reign, so now he's 15 or 16 years old, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. If you're a young person, be like Samuel. Be like Josiah at a young age. Seek the Lord and serve him. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was probably a young woman, perhaps a teenager. Of the 12 disciples, James and John might also have been around that age. They were fishermen with their father. God calls young people to himself and to serve him at a young age. Let's not put it off if you're a young person. And of course, for those of us that are a little bit older, we want to be doing all we can not only to know the Lord and serve him, but to be a church and with the bridge and so forth that's encouraging young people accordingly. For those of you who are younger, have you heard God's call in your life? God's call for Samuel was unique in terms of he's going to be a prophet. He had a specific role. That's not our call. But the principle is still the same. God's call on people many times begins when we're young. Verse 9 and 10. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel. Okay, now he's realized, okay, it's the Lord calling Samuel. Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling out as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Notice the humble, the obedient heart of Samuel. He's submitting to his human authority, Eli. He does what Eli tells him to do. And now he has this humble heart. He's ready to hear from God. He's ready to obey. Even at a young age, he's got the right heart. He doesn't yet know the Lord, but God's prepared his heart, in part through Hannah, his mom, who raised him. Let's jump ahead for a moment to verse 19. How this part of the true story ends. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So God raises him up as a prophet to speak his word, to call his people back to himself in repentance. And as he reveals his plan to raise up King David ultimately. God's calling comes through his word. We can't figure it out ourselves. It comes at God's initiative. It comes through his word. And at times it comes on young people. So let me ask a question for application. Have we heard and are we obeying the gospel call of Christ through his word? As his church, and regardless of our circumstances. For you and I today, the call of God comes through Jesus, his gospel. The gospel message had not yet been revealed as it has to us in the days of Samuel because Jesus hadn't come. But God's call, when it comes on a person, is always in line with whatever revelation God has given up to that point. And for you and I, we're living in the days of the church age, of the age of the gospel. Jesus has already come, and God's revelation has been given to us in the person of Jesus and through the gospel message. Have we heard the gospel call of Christ, the good news of Jesus to come to the Lord and walk with him and serve him? Have we heard that call, and what have we done if we have heard it? Some people haven't heard the call yet. God in his grace, in his timing, at his initiative, decides when he begins to speak to a person and call it. But if you're here today, there's a good chance, if you haven't already had God speaking to you, that he's speaking to you. Not because I'm preaching, not because Naomi gave an update, not because we had music and songs, but because God is speaking through people, through his word. Have you heard the gospel call of Christ, the good news of Jesus? He is the Son of God. God is one God who's three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We can't fully understand that. And God, amidst our sinful world, sent Jesus about 2,000 years ago, and he lived a life that was far more faithful than Samuel, as godly as he was. He perfectly obeyed God and lived up to the glorious standard that God calls for. He lived the righteous life that we failed to live. He earned eternal life for us. And then he also died on a cross so that the penalty we deserve for our sin, our pride, our rebellion, our gossip, our lust, our racism, our envy, our bitterness, our self-centeredness, our self-glorification, our unbelief, our living for pleasure, our doing ministry our way in our own strength for our own glory. Jesus died for that. He paid that penalty. And God forgives those who call on his name. Have you heard the call, the gospel call of Christ, the good news of Jesus, to put your faith in him? And if you've done so, have you told anyone? And just as a side note, if you have done this, have you ever got baptized in water where you're lowered into the water and you come out and you're identifying yourself with Jesus Christ in your old life? Symbolically, you're dying and you're coming up a new person. Have you heard the gospel call of Christ? And that comes through many ways. It comes through his word, among others, which is emphasized here. To be feeding on the scriptures and hearing the word of God. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, and then Samuel, as he was raised up as a prophet, would speak, and Samuel's word became synonymous with the word of the Lord because it was God speaking through him, as verse 1 of chapter 4 says. Have we heard the gospel call of Christ? It comes through his word. There's all kinds of voices that are speaking and so forth in our lives today. Have we heard the call of God on our lives and what God has said through his word in revealing Jesus to us and how we should live? We have voices speaking to us through our music, through our friends, through social media, through sports, through Hollywood. All kinds of voices speaking to us. Are we hearing God's voice speak? The gospel call of Christ through his word. His word, which is truth. It's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And also, as his church, we're called to put our faith in Jesus. Other people can't make that choice for you. Your parents can't make that choice for you. Kids can't make that choice for their parents. Spouses either. But as we follow Jesus, to do so in the fellowship of his church. Samuel was living in a day and age, just as before the New Testament church was established, obviously. But he was living in a day and age where there was a lot of sin within the people of God, like with Eli. But his mother Hannah was godly, and that had an impact on him. And God was going to raise him up to speak his word to his people and call his people back to a right relationship with himself. Because from Genesis through Revelation, there's a dominant theme in which we know and love God personally, but we experience him together. And part of why we, as the church, seek to have ministry to youth, like with youth group and with the Bridge, is because we don't want to just be out there doing things on our own, although that's part of the Christian life, to bear witness as individuals, but also as the church, and to come together and support one another and encourage one another. And also this hearing and obeying the gospel call of Christ through his word as his church, it should be regardless of circumstances. Regardless of what my friends might be doing. Regardless of the way things seem to be going in our culture. Sometimes regardless of the way things are going in the church. Are we seeking to follow Jesus? Samuel was born in a time period where most of God's people were living in sin. Including the one discipling him, Eli. And Eli's sons were even worse. God called Samuel not only at a young age, but also in spite of the sinful circumstances surrounding Samuel. So, regardless of our age, but especially if you're young people, I mean, it's tough to follow Jesus today. Samuel was living in tough circumstances. The person mentoring him was not living for the Lord that he was supposed to be serving. And Eli's sons, who would have been around Samuel, were committing horrible sins. This comes at a time period where people were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. And before Samuel was born, we'd seen a pattern where God's people had continually turned to sin as well. But God raised up a man, Moses, to deliver his people out of Egyptian slavery. Moses dies and Joshua continues on leading the people as they dwell in the promised land. But then they enter a 300-year period where they continue to turn back to sin, and then God disciplines them, and then they repent, and God brings grace and favor, but then they go back to it over and over and over again. And after 350 years of this, God is ready to bring about something new. And the Israelite nation is corrupted and headed towards self-destruction. There's chaos and there's sin running rampant, spiritually, morally, politically. And the priesthood, God's leaders for his people, that he established in the days of Moses, need a serious prophetic voice speaking to them. They're in desperate need of revival. Just briefly, back in chapter 2, here's a description of Eli's sons. Verse 22, "Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people.' No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear, the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" They're supposed to be interceding, and they're living in sin right there in the temple. "But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. They had time to repent, and they refused." A politically incorrect word from God. Have we heard the gospel call of Christ? Have we obeyed it? Hearing it through his word in the fellowship of his church. And regardless of circumstances, it's not popular to follow Jesus. It's hard, but it's also, there's a joy. There's a peace. There's a fulfillment that we can't find in anything else. Main point number 2. God is advancing his kingdom for his own glory. What takes place here, recorded in 1 Samuel 3, we're told about how God calls the boy Samuel to be a prophet. And as we move forward in the book of Samuel, we'll see that one of the dominating themes is that God is advancing his kingdom. It's about kingdom. And God is going to establish his kingdom through a kingdom on earth among his people Israel. And he's going to raise up a king, David, who's a man after his own heart. The first king is Saul, but he's not a man after God's own heart. So then God raises up David. And from David will come a descendant named Jesus Christ, whose kingdom will last forever. So, and this is one of the dominating themes throughout 1 Samuel, his kingdom. You see this in 1 Samuel 11, verse 14. Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingdom." In chapter 13, Samuel speaking to Saul and rebuking him for his foolishness. "For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel, but now your kingdom shall not continue." And in 1 Samuel chapter 24, "And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king," speaking to David, "and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." God is advancing his kingdom, and he's chosen a boy, Samuel, who he's going to raise up to be a prophet, to begin advancing things forward in a new way. Back here in chapter 3, verse 10. "And the Lord," again, "and the Lord came and stood and calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" It's going to be bad. Why? Because of sin. "Oh, that day, on that day, I will fulfill all against Eli, all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Like King Saul after them, Eli and his sons were not serving God's kingdom. They were not serving for his glory. God raises up a boy, Samuel, to be a prophet. And through Samuel, he's going to bring about something new. And he's going to advance his kingdom here on earth through Israel, primarily through King David. And then verse 15, Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel is afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli demands that he do so. And Samuel's afraid because it's not a good word for Eli. And Eli wants to hear all of it. And he knows that Samuel may not share it all because he knows some about the Lord. And he knows he's not been living right. And so Samuel tells him what's coming. And Eli's like, just resigns himself over to the Lord. But doesn't repent. God is advancing his kingdom. He's doing it for his glory. It's his initiative. It's under his sovereignty. And he raises up a boy. He calls a boy, Samuel, to begin this work. So let me ask a question along these lines as we take this word to heart. Are we loving King Jesus? Seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness and feeding, not exploiting his sheep. Eli's sons were exploiting the sheep, living for themselves right there in the temple, engaged in pleasure and taking the best of the offerings and so forth for themselves. You can read more about that in 1 Samuel 2. They're exploiting the sheep, that is God's people. We're oftentimes referred to as sheep. We need a shepherd. Eli and his sons were exploiting the sheep. They didn't love the Lord. They didn't love God who is king. They were not seeking first God's kingdom. So God raises up a boy named Samuel to be a prophet to establish his kingdom. And as you see that, as you move forward in 1 Samuel. But let me ask, are we loving King Jesus? Not only have we heard the call and are we obeying it, but are we nurturing our love for him? To be like Hannah, who loved the Lord and poured out her heart when she was longing for a son. And then gave that son up over to the Lord. And Samuel, who raised up, was raised up by God. Jesus, speaking to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, commends them for their work and their toil and their patient endurance. Verse 3 says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Their love for Christ, their love for being his witnesses, their love for one another. May God instill in us a deeper love for Jesus, who's King. And that we would be putting our faith in him, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because today we love Jesus a little bit more. And on days when we're like, you know what, I feel like I love Jesus less, turn to God in his grace. He's a God who's faithful when we are faithless. And call on his grace and his power to instill a deeper love for Jesus. And seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, as Jesus calls us to in Matthew chapter 6. What Eli and his sons were not doing, what Samuel did. And Samuel started doing so as a young boy. God called Samuel to himself, and he began seeking first the kingdom of God and righteous living, regardless of the circumstances around him. Let's be like that. Let's take the words of our master to heart. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not worry about our life. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God. In doing so, not only because it's right, but again, because today, tomorrow, we love Jesus a little bit more. And as we do so, that we would be a church who's feeding the sheep, feeding the flock, feeding one another, not exploiting one another. Which includes just being indifferent and careless, where it may not be an overt action of using people for ourselves, for our own ministry purposes to glorify ourselves or whatever, as some church leaders do. But also just being indifferent and not really wholeheartedly embracing the call to be invested in one another's lives and fellowship and loving each other. We want to feed the sheep. We want to feed the flock, unlike Eli and his sons and like Samuel did. And like Jesus called for Peter to do. Peter, one of the disciple who loved the Lord, but he's also known for having denied Christ 3 times. And after Jesus dies, rises from the dead, he's walking on the shore with Peter, and he asks him 3 times, do you love me? And his response, and Peter says, yes, and he responds, you know, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. And Jesus' response to him, if you love me, is, feed my lambs, Tend my lambs, feed my sheep. By the grace of God, may we be a sheep-feeding congregation who's seeking first the kingdom and righteousness of God, because by God's grace we love King Jesus. And we're captivated by the glory of God as he's advancing his kingdom here on earth. And we have taken to heart the fact that God calls us to himself, revealing himself and his calling through his word, the truth in a world of lies. And at times that calling comes on young people. The word of the Lord, let's pray.